into the third and final hour of the whole show. I'm live from my basement. I always thought I would say that just because I was living with my mom and dad maybe for a long time. But no, I stayed home today. I got the mobile equipment. I'm in the home office here in Timnath, in Fort Collins, basically. Joining me on the First Advantage Hotline, Chris Dempsey. We were going to call you at 1:20, but my producer screwed up, so we got you on early, Chris. I appreciate your time, my man. Always good to catch up with you.
I thought it was a little early. Then I thought, well, maybe I had the time wrong, but it's all good, man. I'm doing great.
Chris Dempsey, Altitude TV and Altitude Radio. Chris, I've got a chance to catch your new show, man. Congratulations to you. You are one of the best people in this industry, and I mean that wholeheartedly. When I was even more of a nobody, I met you at practice at a Nuggets game, and there you were, because I read the Denver Post. I saw all your stuff. I loved your stuff. And I'm like, that's Chris freaking Dempsey with the biceps of a Greek god over there. And then you shook my hand, and you're like, dude, anything you need in your career, you let me know, and you stood by it, you meant it. Just absolutely love what you've done in your career, my friend. So it's an honor to get you on my show.
Well, I really do appreciate it, and it's been a pleasure to see you grow in this business, too. It's just a lot of fun. You know, you get to a certain space in your own career, and you see others trying to walk your same journey and walk that same path. And like, I absolutely want to help. And you've been fantastic. And so it's been, it's great to be back on. I'm sorry I haven't been on this entire season, but we're on today, and I really appreciate you having me.
No, anytime, my friend. And I just love catching up with you. So, Chris, my poll question today, and you've covered the Nuggets closer than pretty much anybody else. Is this the best Nuggets team we've ever seen in franchise history?
Well, I think it has a chance to be. Yeah, I do. And it's for a couple of reasons. It might not finish with the best record necessarily that any Nuggets team has ever finished with, but it'll be close. But I think from the standpoint of, obviously it has ascended to the top of the Western Conference. I expect them to stay there. Or right near first or second for the remainder of the season. But you have the two-time MVP, probably going to win his third here, in Nikola Jokic. You have a supporting cast around him that is as good as we've seen. I mean, it's an offense that shoots the ball better than any team in the NBA and consistently has done that. This was not a flash in the pan for like a month or a few weeks. It's just been the entire season that this has been the most lethal offense in the NBA. Defensively, you're looking at a team that has vastly improved, and transition is the reason why, but it's a top, over the last 3 weeks or so, it's a top 10 defense and a top 2 offense. But more than that, this is a basketball team that really doesn't win because it is taking advantage of any one thing. So here's my point. The Nuggets teams that some of the great Nuggets teams of the past really relied on running teams out of the gym, using that altitude to full advantage, and just having just tired teams by the end of the game, and you're winning games because you ran their legs off. This team doesn't need to do that to win. It doesn't need to do any one thing to win. It gets its personality on the court every single night. If you want to run and fast break, they can do that. If you want to play a half-court game, they can do that. They can, in the clutch, they've got two of the best clutch players in all the NBA, in Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. They pretty much close out all games with just really good execution. When you marry all of those things together and what the record could and should be by the end of this year, and especially if they finish in first place in the Western Conference, I think we're talking about the best Nuggets team ever. I really do believe that, and I know I know George Karl took exception to this kind of drumbeat starting about a week or so ago, and he said, well, you know, this is my team had a better record at home, and nobody will be able to do that, but I don't think this is just about record. I think this is about style of play, about how great a team you really are, even with a good record.
That's interesting too, Chris. And I love George Karl, and I know you have so much respect for him too.
Yeah,
but
I'm
looking back at those Carmelo game days, and you, what you said was they're not trying to run people out of the building. They don't have to do that. This team can do that, but they can beat you at half court, which George Karl's offense is kind of struggled with when they were in Denver. That's what they tried to fix when they hired Brian Shaw, hoping that would fix the half-court issues. But Michael Malone's team, and maybe that's because of Nikola Jokic, whatever, they can do it all. They can get out and run. Joker can throw it from, you know, from underneath the opposing team's basket all the way to the end quickly, or they can slow it down and do something. So they do. You're right. They have so many weapons. I even go back to the Clippers game. What was that, Friday night? I even said it. I was like, dude, don't bet on this game. Joker's not playing. I don't know about this team without Joker, although I think it's better. That said everything right there, the way this team played without their two-time MVP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it's a credit to Calvin Booth in identifying the weaknesses of the team from last year and then being able to just to add the players that are getting this team from one level to the next. Now, obviously, you were always going to get Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. back. But beyond that, defensively, they wanted to improve. I think he wanted to get bigger and more athletic. He did those things. And, oh, by the way, they shoot the ball well better than any other team from the three-point line, the best three-point percentage in the NBA. And so, yeah, it gives you a chance to be able to, even if you're missing your two-time MVP, to go into a place like L.A. With the Clippers and Kawhi Leonard on the court and walk out with a victory. And, you know, it's one thing to – again, it's one thing to be able to win with, you know, your healthiest players and your best players all the time. It's another to be able to get through games like the Clippers and pretty well dominate that game. I mean, that I don't know that I thought that they were in real danger of losing that game. There's a lot of reasons. There's a lot of reasons why this team is so impressive. Now, look, they're going to have to make this stand up on the court. You know, they've done so for half a season. They're going to have to do so in the second half of the season. And the bulk of that after we get out of January is going to be played on the road again. So they're going to have to, you know, navigate a big road schedule toward the end of the season. And then we'll see what they do in the playoffs. But from what we've seen here, it's a fantastic basketball team. I do believe by the end of the season, for sure. I mean, you can make that case right now, but for me, I'll reserve that to the end of the season, but I expect to be able to say that.
Chris, this is maybe an unfair question because Calvin Booth hasn't been at it that long as the head man for the Nuggets, as the GM, but the moves he's made have packed such a huge punch. I mean, Bruce Brown and KCP alone, those guys, and then his draft pick with Christian Brown. We've seen stints of him being very good with this team. Is Calvin Booth better than Tim Connelly, or is that way too soon to get into?
Yeah, it's way too soon to get into. I mean, the bulk of this team is still, you know, drafted and acquired by Tim Connelly, traded for, all those things. So, what Calvin Booth has been able to do is improve upon the equation, right? So last year, you didn't have MPJ and Jamal Murray, but even beyond that, you know, just some of the players weren't consistent enough for what the Nuggets were trying to do, their aspirations that they had to, make a deep playoff run and get to an NBA Finals and win one. And so what he is able to do was really tweak the equation. And I think, what the Nuggets apparently, I mean, it's obvious now what they needed was just a change in some of the support players, and they switched out a lot of them, right? They switched out a lot of them from last year, most notably Bruce Brown, he's been the biggest steal of in free agency in the NBA, in my opinion. And then the trade for KCP, and then you draft Christian Brown, and those three players have played significant roles already. Not to mention, you don't bring back Boogie Cousins, but you do add DeAndre Jordan and what he has done from a leadership standpoint, as well as getting on the court and having some definite moments of effectiveness, has been really, really good. It's just a better the team looks more equipped to be able to hang with and stay and be one of the best teams, like legitimately, in the NBA. And so I think that's what Calvin Booth has done. He's really put his stamp on it just in terms of what he believes a basketball team should look like and then the type of players he acquired to have the Nuggets look the part.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. Tim Connelly, he got Joker, he got Murray, he got those guys, he made the deal with Gordon. But what I really admire about Calvin Booth is he looked at this team and said, okay, we got the MVP here. How do we get the best players that how do we get the players that are really going to work the best around him? Kind of like what Conley did when he got Aaron Gordon in here. That really seems to work out. It's working out even more. And then he said, okay, let's get a three-point shooter. Let's get KCP. I don't know if anybody predicted him shooting at this clip as far as his percentage this year. But let's get a Bruce Brown because we need to get better defensively. We have to be good there. And he kind of pulled that safety Band-Aid of Will Barton. I mean, people had kind of a love-hate thing as far as fans go with Will Barton. Calvin Booth just said, you know, it's time. I'm going to do it. It's a hard decision. We love him. We love Monte Morris. But we have some guys that we think can work better with the Joker. And I love that about Calvin Booth. I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, yeah. He had definite differences of opinion in terms of what this team needs. And he wasn't afraid to cut ties and let go and get to the type of players that he feels should have been on this team around Nikola Jokic, and he made all the right decisions, you know. And you're right about KCP. I mean, look, he's been a really good three-point shooter his entire career, but he is right now obliterating his career high in a season for a three-point percentage. I mean, he's shooting around 48% right now, and his career high was 41. And so it's he's way above that. And I don't know if he comes back down to 40, and even if he does, that's obviously still really good for a player in the NBA. But Calvin Booth has made all the right moves. He hasn't really missed. He didn't miss a single move. And so for him, the icing on the cake will be to see this team really make noise in the playoffs. It's equipped to do so. We had Calvin on our show, and I asked him about the trade deadline and what he may or may not do at the trade deadline. And he basically said, look, you know, I think for – we have everything we need within the locker room. And what he was looking for was just continued health in their players and then continued improvement in individual performances over the course of the season. And if he gets those two things, then he feels that they have already the roster that's good enough to get them to an NBA final.
Well, that's the thing, Chris. When you look at trade deadline or anything like that, you look at what you can do to improve your weaknesses. What are the Nuggets' weaknesses right now? What is it? Because you talked about the defensive numbers. You talked about the bench a little bit. Those are all things that I was worried about that they have improved on every single game. So what's the weakness with this team right now?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think coming into the season, I wondered where the bench scoring beyond Bones Highland was going to come in. And what they've done is, what Michael Malone has done, and he's done a really nice job of rotating players this year, is just kept a couple starters on, and he gets Jamal Murray out early in the first quarter to bring him back later in the first quarter and then keep him on into the second quarter. Then he brings back Nikola Jokic, and then they're on together for the remainder of the second quarter. And so there's one or two of those guys on the court all the time with some of the bench players. That has helped, mitigate some of the reliance on putting, let's say, five reserve players on the court and then, you know, crossing your fingers that you get really good bench production from them. They really haven't had to do that with how he's rotated it. So, that hasn't been a huge issue except for when they've been injured and guys that are on the bench have had to be in the starting lineup. That has exposed the bench a little bit. So, I mean, I think if you're nitpicking this team a little bit, you could say they could use additional scoring off the bench. I think defensively, the only thing that's holding them back is just inconsistency sometimes. They have all the individuals they need to be a really good defensive team, and they're showing you that here in these last few weeks. So I just think consistency, and part of that is that they tweaked how they are covering things, especially in the half court. And that takes a little time to work through and to get used to and to get consistent, especially when you're seeing kind of different styles of teams all the time. You got to get through the whole league one time before you can really settle into how it's supposed to look on a night-to-night basis. But there's not many weaknesses, I don't think, on this team, to be honest with you. And even when you get in the playoffs, the bench points will matter a little bit less as rotations kind of shorten. So do they have everything they need right now? They probably do. Now, look, we'll see what happens with some other teams in the Western Conference, what moves they make and to get better around the Nuggets and the Memphis Grizzlies. And so there's always going to be a team or two that makes a really big move. And if they do that, will the Nuggets try to do something to to make sure that they continue to stay ahead of the pack.
Well, either way you slice it, it's good so far. They have been so much fun to watch, and we'll see what they do tonight. Another back. Why do we keep playing back to backs against Minnesota, Chris? What's going on there? Why is it the Timberwolves?
It really is. To be honest with you, I think that it's one of the it's poorly done by the NBA.
Yeah.
Poorly done because. And they knew this coming into the season. This was not a mystery that these two teams were looked at the beginning of the season as the two teams that would vie for the Northwest Division title. And so what you're doing is you're giving the Minnesota Timberwolves the clear advantage. Three times out of the four that they play, the Nuggets will be on the second of a back-to-back. And that is unbelievable to me in terms of fair competition. Now, if you wanted to do two times the Nuggets are on the second of a back-to-back, two times Minnesota's on the second of a back-to-back, okay. Or how about none of the times? Either one of these two teams is on the back-to-back,
right.
but you stick it to the Nuggets three times. And so, look, they lost one time already, and they've lost three straight times to the Minnesota Timberwolves dating back to last year. So this is not the team that has been easy for the Nuggets to beat, and now they're at a little bit of disadvantage again with the second of a back-to-back. So they're just going to have to really suck it up and get themselves together and try to win a game here tonight.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Chris, my man, appreciate you as always. Happy New Year to you a little bit later. But hey, we were supposed to have our segment now, so should we restart? What do you think? Should we restart?
Yeah, let's keep going.
Chris, man, I appreciate you so much, my friend, and we'll look to catch up with you down the road.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks for having me on, man. We'll see you.
All right, Christopher Dempsey, Altitude TV, Altitude Radio. Seriously, man, I tell this story a lot to people. And you know what's funny is I tell media people this, and they tell me the same story. Because Chris is that kind of guy. He is he's a humble dude. He's amazing at what he's done, at what he does. He's continued to grow his career. I love watching him on the Altitude. And he has been one of those guys. And I tell you, it doesn't matter who you are. You could be Calvin Booth, the general manager of the Denver Nuggets, or you could be Billy Bob, the intern with the custodian crew at Ball Arena. Chris is going to greet you the same way. He's going to, you know, big smile, going to shake your hand, and hey, anything you need, you let me know. He's that kind of guy. So I've always really appreciated him. He was one of my first guests when I started the show. I said I need to start building some guests and a network here, and I went down to Nuggets practice and met him, and we've been pretty good friends, you know, via text and you know, communication that way. Pretty ever since, I should say. 23 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Short break coming up. We'll talk more Broncos coaching search, NFL playoffs. Not that far away, so we'll get to that on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. A little technical glitch there, I suppose. Welcome back into the show. Great stuff from Chris Dempsey, as we'll see the Denver Nuggets on that back-to-back tonight. Second night of the back-to-back, going up against the Minnesota Timberwolves. And see if they can keep it rolling. They've won seven in a row. Looking very, very good. So anyway, we were talking about, to start the show, I was talking about Sean Payton. I was talking about the coaching search and what makes sense for Denver. And it's not that I think Sean Payton is not going to be a good coach. He is a good coach. He's done it at this level. He's won a Super Bowl. He's been to the playoffs multiple times. He was with the same team forever. I just find it hard that we just are so quick to overlook Bountygate. I mean, he shouldn't be in the league. He shouldn't be in the league anymore. I mean, we have written off John Gruden, and I'm not excusing. Trust me, I already had some messages earlier talking about the Gruden thing, and I'm like, I'm not excusing the John Gruden thing. It was bad.
Does that mean he's out of the league for good? That's not my decision. Is he racist and all that stuff? I don't know that. He made a remark on his email, and that's what you got. But he's out of the league. And you're talking about this guy with Sean Payton. He was in charge of a team and a coordinator that paid players to hurt players. And then when they were first asked about it during an investigation, he tried to cover it up. And I think that to me is, ultimately it's terrible. It's just absolutely terrible. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Your thoughts on this? You know, Sean Payton versus everybody else now? Because with Harbaugh backing out and going to Michigan, Sean Payton's name is now the clear-cut favorite as far as, I think, Broncos fans and everybody else. I think that a lot of people are like, that's the clear-cut. I think the Broncos ownership group is saying that he's our guy, that he's the one we want. Will they be able to afford him? Which is stupid. I mean, as far as compensation. And all this stuff, like, you know, don't let him leave the room during the interview. You have to let him leave the room. That's called kidnapping. No, I mean, you still have to get the Saints to approve the deal. You have to get the Saints to say, yeah, this is what we want for him. So it's not just Sean Payton and how much is it going to take to get you here. It's everything else that goes into it. So, I just looking at the coaching search now, I don't know why it's Sean Payton. And I don't know why not enough of us are talking about this. I heard something yesterday. A former player said, oh, well, the batting gate doesn't bother me because that happens all the time. What? That's like saying I get hammered and drive home because that's fine because everybody else does it. It's fine. It's illegal. So, Mr. Big Football Player that's saying this, that doesn't bother me because that's going on in the league anyway. So that makes it fine? I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. We'll get your thoughts on it. You know, because it happened before, because it's happened in the league before, we're going to say, nah, it's not that big a deal. Sean Payton allowed things that are happening all the time. It's illegal. You're paying guys to hurt guys. That's what happened. And a lot of you Payton guys are just like, oh, that, I don't care. I don't care. He shouldn't be in the league. He shouldn't be on Fox Sports talking about the NFL. He seems like a nice guy and everything, but he tried to cover it up. He lied. Is that what you want? I was leaning into the Harbaugh thing a little bit, but I talked about this on Monday's show. I said, I don't know. I'm suddenly getting a weird, bad feeling about this. I don't think it's going to be a good deal. And then he took the job with Michigan. So there you go. I don't have a good feeling about Sean Payton. It seems to be Dan Quinn in my mind. I don't hate the David Shaw thing. I really don't. I know he wasn't a world beater in his last few years with Stanford, but I don't hate it. Eastside Chris chiming in, saying, Brady, any love for Caldwell? Yeah, milk toast to me. Kind of medium. Am I going to be mad if they hire him? No, but it doesn't move the needle that much. Let's see, a texter here. I won't read the name. Two big names said no big deal. Happens all the time. DQ is the best choice. Disqualify is the best choice? Is that what you're saying? That's stupid. That's absolutely stupid. The fact that they said, oh, no big deal, this happens all the time. I'm with you. I heard the same thing, bro. 405. I heard it. A lot of respect for those guys, too. But you can't tell me that that's okay because it happens all the time. What? Paying someone to hurt someone? So the people that said that yesterday, let me just ask this question. The people that said that yesterday, what did you think of DeMar Hamlin getting hurt? What did you think of, was it Russell Gage getting hurt the other day? Were you sad? Did you think in your head, we're going to think about him, we're going to pray about him, we're going to do all that stuff? Did you think that? Did you say it on your shows? Did you say it out loud? Because if you did, the idea, Dan Quinn, got you 405. DQ means Dan Quinn. I thought maybe you meant Sean Payton should be DQ'd. Like, DQ'd's the best choice for Sean Payton. But I'm just saying, if you're a guy who sees someone get hurt on the field, and then you go, oh, thoughts and prayers for that guy, or man, we're really thinking about him, oh, that was a really scary moment. But and then you also turn around and say, guys get paid to hurt people, happens all the time. Get the hell out of here. You are off your rocker. Which is it? You're bummed that someone got hurt, or you're okay with people getting paid to hurt somebody? Hey, yeah, that's cool that he got paid to hurt that guy. Oh, he got hurt? Oh, thoughts and prayers, bro. What? Like, if you're okay with that, I don't know. Smitty texting, who's worse? Sean Payton for Bountygate or Urban Meyer for pretty much everything he does? Answer, both are bad and belong out of public view. Yeah, like, how is Urban Meyer and Dan Quinn, Sean Payton. First off, Sean Payton continued to coach with the Saints. But then TV's like, these guys are good to have talk. Every time I see Urban Meyer on TV, it's like, I just picture him in that bar in that awkward video, him sitting on that bar stool with his right hand, like, somewhere in between his legs, and then the girl's on top of him. like she's grinding up on him. Every time I see him, I see that. But yet, the networks are like, it's Urban Meyer. Oh, Sean Payton was a part of, basically was the head guy for an organization that put hits out on players to hurt him. And Peyton Manning, of course, rumored in that mix too. Oh yeah, let's put him on TV to talk about him. Let's put him on TV to talk about these same guys he probably was okay with guys being paid to hurt. Let's have him talk about him. I'm just saying, you're acting like this is not a big deal. Players do it all the time. Now listen, I'm guilty of this. I've always said with the Deflategate with Tom Brady, I've always said, come on, like a little tiny portion of air, like a ladybug's breath of air came out of a football. But we're not talking about hurting anybody. We're not talking about paying somebody to go hurt somebody. You guys, that's awful. That is just terrible. And for certain shows and writers and all that to come out and say, you know, it's not that big a deal because it happens all the time. What? Get out of here with that. 38 minutes after the hour, Michael, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Ali Farokmanesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFK.
Forty-three minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into The Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. Tonight's a big one for the Colorado State Rams. They're going up against San Diego State, looking to see if they can capitalize on stealing a win out of Vegas, beating UNLV in overtime. Literally the Isaiah Stevens Show. Not the Isaiah Stevens Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza, but the Isaiah Stevens Show. He was on fire. He was magnificent. He made every clutch play that you could possibly make, both offensively and defensively, rebounding-wise, assist-wise. He was absolutely special. We'll see if he can do more of the same tonight. They get going. No plans to cancel that bad boy. It's a whiteout tonight, too. It's whiteout. So wear white if you're a CSU fan going to Moby Arena tonight. Kind of fitting for the storm coverage that we're in here. So Colorado State gets rock and rolling. UNC playing tomorrow night against Eastern Washington at home. So some local basketball for you to check out. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Our poll question of the day is available at thewholeshow.com. Go ahead and vote there. Is this the best Nuggets team in franchise history? Are we seeing it? Are we seeing it right now? I'm not asking you to say, well, let's see how they do in the playoffs. Are we seeing it? If you had to predict and say, we're this, like,
by July, if I ask you this question in July, are you going to go back and say, yeah, that team was it? Like, I'm asking you to predict. These poll questions are not because the answers are there. The poll questions are there for you to think in your brain about what you're seeing on a nightly basis. Are you seeing the best Nuggets team in the history of the NBA? History of the Nuggets. I'm getting a little carried away. Maybe, though. Maybe that comes. And I think the answer is yes. You have never had a special player like Nikola Jokic. Not like this. Alex English, Carmelo Anthony, David Thompson, Dan Issel, Fat Lever, Dikembe Mutombo. None of those guys are really that close to the Joker. Nikola Jokic isn't in those conversations, folks. 2 years ago, some of you guys laughed at me for that. Dan Issel's the best Nugget. Well, it's Alex English. No, and I didn't get a lot of Mellos, but you guys hate Mello for some reason. You guys laughed at me. You know the discussion now? Once he wins this championship, it's going to be, is he in the mix with LeBron? Is he in the top 10? How far away is he from Shaq? How far away is he from the greats? Magic, Bird. Win a second championship, maybe a third? How far away is he from Jordan? You're laughing now, probably. You're probably not driving around. You're listening online or whatever. But you're laughing now. Brady, that's ridiculous. Jordan, Kobe, LeBron. He's not even close to those guys. You said the same thing 2 years ago, bro. You said the same thing when I said Nikola Jokic is the best Nugget in franchise history. You said that's ridiculous. When I said Nikola Jokic is on his way to being the GOAT in Denver, above John Elway, you laughed at it. You guys aren't, it's not true yet in your minds. I get it. He's got to win a title. But you're not laughing at it anymore. You're stopping and going, maybe. Maybe Nikola Jokic could be the best in Denver. Maybe Nikola Jokic could be one of the top 10 or better basketball players of all time. Watch him play. Just threw down a quick triple-double last night. Continues to put up big numbers. And it almost looks easy. Dare I say, it looks easy for him. He's at 89. He needs one more to get to number 90. LeBron James is at 105 as far as triple-doubles go. He's not going to pass it this year, I don't think. He may. Got to double up what he's done. But he'll pass it next year, assuming LeBron is done getting triple-doubles in his career. But, yeah, Nikola Jokic is on his way. When you talk about numbers, like he's breaking records, like he's breaking Chamberlain's records, and he's on his way to breaking triple-double records. He's passing people up in that in those ranks. He's dominating all of his franchise records. He's winning MVPs left and right. He's in the conversation again for a third one. Yeah, best player. One of the best players we've ever seen. He's in that conversation. All right, First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. When we come back, we'll hit what's on TV and get to closing thoughts. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Just about to wrap up today's edition from my basement. I am in my home office in Timnath here. So, you know, it's been great. Micah Kilpatrick, Michael Kirkpatrick, the 467th, has been fantastic all day. Rock and rolling. Going to go home and get some sleep, hopefully, after this. Texter Hull again, a Hulligan. Texting in, I think David Shaw would be a bad idea. He's coming off a couple of sub-mediocre seasons at Stanford and needs to take a coordinator job, take a few years off. I don't know. I kind of like the CEO approach that that Greg Penner and this group are kind of taking in this situation. They're kind of saying, hey, we need a CEO type. We don't necessarily need the next big coordinator. We need a guy that can run a program, that could be a CEO, that can hire the appropriate coordinators and can make this work. And I kind of like that approach. We don't see that very often, or we used to. The last 10 years or so, it's we got to hire the next big offensive guru. We got to hire the mastermind, the defensive mastermind. And I kind of like the idea of saying, I just want a head coach. I need an adult. I need a guy that can manage a staff. A guy that's not going to allow fights to go on behind his back. A guy that doesn't need to hire someone for game clock management. I kind of like the idea, David Shaw. He said, Chris, Brady, devil's advocate here. Doesn't that Brewster speech, I want to talk about the CU guy, probably sound like your staff meetings with Micah and Angel? Yeah, probably. He said, doesn't that speech scream, take them out? Take them out? I don't know. It just, I like what Mark Johnson had to say. Like, I don't have a big issue with it. But if I'm CU, I'm wondering how many opposing coaches that I'm recruiting against are going to show that to their moms. Hey, do you want your son being treated like this? I think some moms would go, yeah, tough love. Football, make them better at sports. They need to be
Texas
better
America.
At sports. Oh, God, there's Mike out of nowhere 2 hours later. They need to be better at sports. All that. No, and then I think there's going to be a lot of moms that are like, I don't want my child being treated like that. I don't want my child being talked to like that. And so I do think that it's an interesting concept. I mean, it kind of gave me chills. I kind of like the, we're coming. I want you to say it, we're coming. But it's stand up, sit down, stand up. I'm 36. Nobody's talking to me like that anymore. It's funny. When you're 18 and 22, 23, you're in high school, you're 17 to whatever, you could be talked to differently than you could be talked to once you're an adult, I guess. All right, that'll do it for us. It's been great to be with you guys. I'm losing my voice randomly. So we'll be back at it on a Thursday. All that and more coming up. Keep it here. We got the Nerd Show coming up tonight. Don't miss it. That'll do it. This has been the whole show on Powers on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFK. Good night, Northern Colorado.